You didn't start to go down a road. Well, it looked like you started to go down a road and then realized it was not going to work out well.
What are you talking about?
Are you really going to boil Christian McCaffrey's career as a San Francisco 49er? You're going to boil it down to a fumble on the opening drive of the Super Bowl and then a drop when they were two scores down in a fourth quarter. Hit the pike.
Hey, look, Steiny. All I'm going to say is this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Two biggest games of Christian McCaffrey's career. I know he didn't technically get the turnover on that play on Saturday. He should have. All I'm saying is there was a lot of people walking out of that stadium at Levi's, which I was at, and I was there to hold the tears of all those Niners fans. I was walking around with a bucket. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it, but it didn't rain, so I had to go with tears. Christian McCaffrey was in a lot of people's mouths. That's all I'm going to say.
It
was in their mouths after the Super Bowl, too, because they were rolling. By the way, two drives. You could say the two best drives of those two games. Christian McCaffrey, Super Bowl. What was that, opening drive, second drive? Puts the ball on the turf. This drive on Saturday night in Seattle, the only drive where they looked like some semblance of the offense that we've known and grown accustomed to the last 6 weeks, Christian McCaffrey, E6, bobble, bobble.
If I'm not mistaken,
I thought he played for the Giants.
You know how I'm losing my memory, but things stick in my mind.
Okay.
Didn't McCaffrey have 80 rushing yards and 80 receiving yards
in the
Super Bowl?
How many of those did he get in overtime? How many in regulation?
I don't know. Okay.
The majority of them.
Okay.
That was also when he was supposedly the MVP. I hate you're making me take this side, but I'm going to be honest. No, seriously. There were a lot of people saying that Christian McCaffrey in big games.
I mean, I look at that game and say, like, I don't think Christian McCaffrey was shut down. I mean, I guess you could say that. They didn't have the ball.
He was shut down against Seattle. He was absolutely shut down. Okay, so when Brandon Ayuk...
I'm not going to argue whether he was shut down or not. What I'm saying is, I don't think a lot of running backs get a lot of yards in that game.
Well, they do if they play for the Seahawks, but...
I'm talking about behind the Niners line against that defense.
Okay, so
did it seem like McCaffrey
Why do we kill quarterbacks in big games, but we don't talk about the other players? Why? Seriously, Brandon Ayuk hasn't had a 100-yard receiving yards game in the postseason.
I mean, you can pick apart nobody played well for the Niners. There's nobody who can come off that field saying, Purdy didn't play well. Kittle didn't play. Like, nobody played well.
Yeah, but those guys have had big games before in those spots. Christian McCaffrey's, look,
hold on.
Is he going to do it against Philly?
Are you telling me he hasn't performed well in the playoffs as a Niner?
He's been solid. He's been good.
Okay.
He's been all right.
All right. Okay.
I'm just saying, the guy's touched the ball 420 times. He's got 2,000 yards. Make a play. Sir Francis Drake Thomas should
not
be
taking
your cookies. Yeah, CMC is hurt. That's the reason.
Frank in Atlanta.
Healthy for 16 games.
What's up, Frank? How you doing?
Hey, how's everybody doing? I hope everybody had, an okay weekend.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to talk X's and O's for a couple seconds while I have you guys.
Yeah.
That game was the same game we lost to Jacksonville and I think Houston.
Yeah.
I think that was Houston. It was the same game. They used the same defensive game plan that D'Amico and them guys used. They play single high, eight in the box, every time. They run one defense, and they dare us to throw the ball deep. And we don't have a deep passing game. So when the eighth man comes down in the box, guess what? They shut down the tight end and the back out of the backfield. That's who they concentrate on stopping. And what they did was the fifth man was the spy on Brock Purdy. The eighth man coming down becomes the fifth man on the line of scrimmage. And they did a good job of their defensive tackles getting deep so Brock can't come forward on the line, step up in the pocket, and then get away and buy time. There was nothing there. because I'll try to make it quick. We can't throw the ball outside. This is for Evan. Write this down on a post-it note.
I got you, Frank.
Single high, load and then the box. Outside the numbers.
Yep. Thanks.
And next week, when we're playing Philly, and they're mopping Juwan Jennings up off of the field, I want you to look at that post-it note that says single high outside the numbers.
Thanks, Frank.
My guy. Appreciate love you, Frank. You. Happy New Year, buddy.
Okay.
I don't have a post-it note, but I'll put it in the memory bank.
You know, like this is where I'll think back to week 5 or 6, 7 or 8. Remember we were saying, you know, we were looking at McCaffrey's numbers? You know, we were asking everybody, you think he's lost a step? Some people said, yay, a little bit, maybe. Well, guess what? Maybe he did. Maybe he has a little bit, and that's the difference between, you know, him breaking through against a team like Seattle.
Frank,
do we have a McCaffrey problem? Is that what you're saying?
Frank,
because
McCaffrey's the only solution for this
wanna,
team.
I don't want to get into next year, but what, he's going to carry it 400 times next year? Or get it 400 times?
Let's exactly. Leave 2026
exactly.
In 2027.
What, it's very possible McCaffrey could be wearing down right now.
Let me just ask you this. One of the most durable seasons in recent memory of a running back at his age. Like, literally the only guys that do the stuff he's done this year are Derrick Henry. And that guy's 6'5", 260.
But this is kind of what I'm, like, and you said, well, those are the three. And I'm kind of like guru on this one. If the 49ers go into Philly next weekend and they can't score.
Well, they will.
And they can't score. And then you have to think, and because I said to you, you know, it did kind of remind me of the Houston game too. Okay, so Houston, Seattle, and then the Eagles will have really exposed them. Well, those are the three, maybe the three or four best defenses in the league. Okay, but this is all we can do? Like, this is all we can do with this offense.
Well,
maybe it's because they don't have the personnel.
Are we having a different conversation if they lose the game 13-10? You know, because I think they get in there. Like, if McCaffrey doesn't drop the ball, I think they score. And then the biggest issue is you couldn't stop the Seahawks from basically just running out the clock. I mean, they got the ball on their own 3-yard line with 6-ish, I want to say, minutes left in the game. You know, it would have been hard to score twice because you're down by 10, but if you have 10 points, does that really make you feel that much better? You still lost, and because your offense couldn't do much.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if they score 3, 10, 13 against Philly, then, you know, maybe we got a problem on offense against really good teams.
I think the biggest issue for me with the Niners this year is that, and they did it kind of against the Seahawks, but they don't get to the quarterback, and they do not turn over teams. And I realize turnovers are a bit of a coin flip sometimes. But, hey, and you're going to hate this, and I don't care. Yetur Gross-Matos, fall on the ball.
You're absolutely out of your gourd.
Get the ball. Do you know how different that game looks in the first half if he falls on that football? Or sorry, in the second? I think it was in the second half.
That ball hit him so fast.
In the chest.
He had no idea what was going on. He was like a drunk in an alley. Like, he was involved in his play.
That's your best take of the day.
And the next thing you know, like, the ball's there. And he reacts, but he's late because he's a big, slow lineman. No way. You know what? I said this to Evan. I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what. Let me get a football. Let me throw it as hard as I can at you from 5 yards away. And right after I throw it, I say, Evan, you're not going to catch it.
And
it's
going to
bounce
you,
off your chest.
Yeah, and I told you, I'm Omar Vizquel. Okay, just because he was me on New Year's on that play doesn't mean that you can't get to the football. It hit him again, like McCaffrey. Where'd it hit you? You have arms. Last I checked, you have multiple limbs on your upper body. Use them. Get to the football and flip the game. Seriously.
The
Niners needed somebody to make a play. And Yetur Gross-Matos was in a position to make the one play that could have got you a turnover.
I need to look at that one again because I remember seeing it on Saturday thinking, that like he wasn't really aware of what just happened all too fast.
Well, probably, but the whole point is, that's the one, and this is also a part of the game, too, that, like, Seattle, to me, they didn't win the game with special teams, right? They obviously missed, they left 6 points on the board, and Myers kicked the ball out of the bounds. But the one thing they did do successfully is they played the field position game virtually the entire night. The Niners were never in plus territory. Sky Moore was a non-factor on kickoffs. They didn't have any punt returns. Like, they were pinned deep for the majority of the game. The one opportunity you had to gain an advantageous position was right after Sam Darnold trips or he steps on his center. Like, you got to take advantage of that. And I feel like the Niners, we talked about it earlier, they have done a pretty good job this season of when they've been given an opportunity to make the most of it. I felt like if they get that fumble, certainly they're getting points, but that's the kind of play that re-energizes the offense, that swings the momentum of the stadium. That's a play that can flip a football game, and that's the kind of play in the playoffs, especially in Philadelphia, whether it's Yetur Gross-Matos, C.J. West, Alfred Collins, one of these guys, you got to make that play.
Yeah, I don't look at it like that.
If you want to win the game, you don't have to, but if you want to win.
Well, it seems to me like you're looking at it as a 50-50 play. And I didn't see it that way at all.
No, I look at it as a fumble that was in your arms. And you didn't make it. It's fine.
And I would say this. If you call that your best opportunity to make a big play, that shows you they had no opportunities outside that.
Well, exactly. But that was the one chance to turn them over. I mean, Darnold didn't really put the ball in harm's way. I thought that Clay Kubiak for Seattle, he called a pretty scared game. All they did was run the football. And to be fair, it worked. But he was not going to let Darnold see ghosts on Saturday night at Levi's. He just wasn't.
888-957-9570 is the number. Steiny and Evan Giddings with you today. San Francisco 49ers lose to Seattle on Saturday 13-3. Now they have to go to Philadelphia. And, you know, we're talking about this game, and it's kind of like a some other NFL games where, yeah, you were right there, but were you really right there? Well, yeah, because it was a one-score game in the second half. Okay, but were you really there? And that's a game where I don't look at, yeah, the Niners might have had a chance or two, but that's kind of the way I look at football. How many chances did the Niners have to win that game?
Clint Kubiak.
Two or three?
Well,
how many times Seattle have a chance? 9 or 10?
I would say the Niners had multiple chances to make it a game, like to put themselves in position to steal. That's what they were trying to do the whole game. They were trying to steal that game.
Right.
I mean, right from the get-go, you could just tell the way that Seattle was running the football, the lack of third down conversions for the Niners, they were going to have to steal that football game. And at halftime, and we both agreed on this, we were talking in the thread, we both felt like they had a chance to steal that game.
No doubt.
But
no
they
doubt.
Just they couldn't make enough plays, and you know, you could point to, I'm not saying that this was the play, but you know, if you were going to recover that fumble, you could have. To me, the 3rd and 17 was probably the biggest backbreaker. I mean, I remember I was about to get up in the press box. We're watching, you know, everyone's got their binocs out, and you're just sitting there watching the play unfold. And I was about to get up to go get some coffee because who converts on a 3rd and 17? And you see Walker kind of tossed to the outside, and then the sea just parted. And at that point, I know they only got, I think they got only 3 points on that drive. So you bent, but you didn't break. But that was kind of the play that didn't go the Niners' way the whole game.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about the biggest plays of that game, to me, the Walker third down run was the biggest. I think McCaffrey's drop was right up there, but not quite as important because they were down 2 scores at the time. I'm trying to think of other. I mean, I didn't think it was much of a chance, but if you're saying they make that play, then that is the third biggest play of the game. But I think that was kind of a.
I mean, it took a bad bounce, but you had a shot.
No, they had a shot. They absolutely had a shot, but. The question is, does the fact that they had a shot make you feel differently about the way they performed as a whole? And that's where I think 49er fans realize that you know, it's twofold here. Not only do they have to play three on the road instead of two at home in that last game that cost you home field, you may have gotten smacked in the face and realized all our shortcomings may show up in the playoffs. And if that's the case, we're probably going to get beat early.
Wasn't that a truth across sports? When you lose, your flaws get highlighted. Like you get exposed. You know, you figure out how good you are against the run, against the pass. If you can't run the football, you can't do this. And it always becomes abundantly clear. The one positive about that football game that the Niners can take away, and why I legitimately don't think they were despondent. Like I don't.
What do you mean?
I mean, after the football game, you heard Kyle, you heard McCaffrey. Yeah. I know it was a big loss. It was an emotional loss. But I don't think whatsoever the Niners are, that game, like, broke them. You played the best team in football, and you lost, but you also, I mean, this was something that we haven't been able to talk about, I think, the entire season because of the schedule, which is, okay, so the Niners got tested. Now, the next time they're tested, how do they perform? They've seen what the most, and I people might disagree, I believe the Seahawks are the most complete team in football. Okay, so you saw what that looks like. What do you have to do now to beat a team like that? They didn't know that before. The best team they played up until that point was, you know, Houston, Jacksonville. I mean, they played the Seahawks back in week one, but that felt like a year ago. You'd played the Rams, but you didn't, you know, like...
Indy wasn't who they were at the beginning of the year.
Chicago's up there.
Yeah.
And that's the best team that you beat this season, at least late in the year, since you got Brock back. I just feel like that game is... It's a measuring stick game, but now you know what it feels like.
I don't disagree with that one iota. You can't play... Like, the Bears' defense isn't great. They faced a top-three defense... Top 3-5 defense, and they couldn't get anything done. You're right. So, and this is where Kyle Shanahan comes in. Like, a great offensive coach, like that won't happen 2 weeks in a row, right? Even if Philly's defense is really good, it can't happen 2 weeks in a row, right?
It's the first time all year they haven't scored a touchdown.
Right, that's why I'm saying.
I would bet a lot of money that they'll score a touchdown next week in Philly.
Right.
Or this upcoming
week. I don't want to just whittle it down to a touchdown. I'm saying if the offense sputters in Philadelphia and you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, Houston shut us down, Seattle shut us down, and now Philly shut us down. So, you know, we got to get better. Offensively.
Well, they might, but I think you also prove that even after being shut down for the majority of the football game, you were still kind of in it.
No, I get all that. I'm talking, I just meant like specifically their offense. Like if their offense, like Kyle Shanahan is their offense. And if we're saying 12 times a year, oh, he's in his bag. Kyle's in his bag, coach of the year. And I'm not laughing at that or making fun of that, but you just scored 3 points at home, and now you go to Philly. If you struggle against Philly offensively, then how much does it matter that you can score against a mediocre team? That's all I'm like. Will you tell me it's just a coincidence that Houston and the Seahawks and Philly did that?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the two games where they've looked the most outclassed were against Houston and the Seahawks. And I don't want to boil it down to one thing offensively, but against the Texans, you ran the ball for 48 yards. And I know you were trailing most of the game, but Seattle, you ran the ball for 53 yards. And I think Brock Purdy had 10 of them on a scramble. So you got virtually nothing on the ground. If this team cannot run the football, they will not win a playoff game. And by when I don't mean like, you know, 150 yards. I just mean you have to be able to stay ahead of the chains. I mean, Brock Purdy was in a ton of just blatantly obvious passing downs. And against Seattle, I know that people are calling and saying they're stacking the box. And it's like, but not they don't have to stack the box because their defensive linemen were winning every single play, run or pass. Brock Purdy was rushed. Brock Purdy had to extend plays. And their secondary was keeping guys in check. It's like, that's what a dominant defense looks like. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when the Niners have not been able to run the football, they do not win. They had 67 rushing yards against the Buccaneers. Didn't win. You know, you look at the Texans, obviously, under 50. Didn't win. The last loss against the Rams, 74 yards. Didn't win. It's just, it's really hard for them to do it without some semblance of a running game.